If you will, look down with me at verse number 26. Verse number 26. It said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." Now, Philip's here in the town, and there's been a great revival, people being saved, things happening. "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." That's Isaiah. "And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for loving us today. Thank you for this good time of fellowship. Thank you for the good songs. And I pray now, you just speak to our hearts and draw us up close to you, make us more like you, give us a greater burden and a greater desire. And Lord, we'll thank you for everything that you do. And we'll just give you praise and worship for loving us tonight. Save the lost, burden our hearts, show us those that need you, and let us be a light and a help and a witness to them. And we'll praise you in Christ's name tonight. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this and think with me about the simplicity of salvation. The simplicity of salvation. I want you to know the way of salvation is pretty simple. Amen. I mean, it's not difficult. You don't have to be in a mega church or a great building or even in a building to get saved. Amen. Isn't it amazing? God saved this man right here out while he was traveling through the desert with his chariot and his crew as they were headed from Jerusalem all the way back to Ethiopia. There he found salvation in the Lord. There's a guy that's dying next to Jesus on the cross on the day of Jesus' crucifixion. He finds the Lord hanging on an old rugged cross. I'm just telling you, God can save anybody, anywhere, anytime that he chooses to do so. That's the way of salvation, and I'm certainly thankful for that. But I just want you to see the simplicity. This just gives us a good, succinct picture of the simplicity of the Lord's salvation. So let's look at it, if you will, for a few minutes and notice some highlights about this that ought to fit into my life and your life. First of all, I want you to notice the idea of spiritual deputation. Spiritual deputation. What do you mean by that, preacher? I'll tell you, when the Spirit gets in your life, the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God begins to get in your life and He begins to work through your life, He'll put you in some places that you might not have thought you'd ever be in. Amen? You might not even dreamed of. You might not even thought, well, I'll never do this and I'll never do that. Hey, I want to tell you something. As old folks said, never say never, because you don't know what God might have for your life. Amen? You don't know if God's going to call you to be a missionary or God's going to call you to be a missionary around your neighborhood. You may be a missionary to a foreign land. You may be a missionary in a far off place where you got to learn another language. But I'm telling you, God can call you, God can qualify you, and God can use you wherever He wants to place you. Amen? So, you see the story here. Here's Philip, and you know, like I say, I want to think that he's like on spiritual deputation. I mean, man, how do you get on a spiritual deputation? Well, let me just tell you this. First of all, it requires the Lord's direction. It requires the Lord's direction. I want you to notice what the Bible tells you here in this beginning verse, verse number 26. It said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." I mean, hey, in this thing of spiritual deputation, first of all, I want you to understand, you need the Lord's direction. You need His direction. Now, a lot of times, we're even like the Apostle Paul was sometimes. When you read the book of Acts, and a little bit later on in this, if you'll remember when we studied it. Hey, there was times Paul said, here's what I want to do. But you know what he said? But we didn't get to do it because the Spirit led us in another way. That's what I'm talking about by the spiritual deputation. First of all, you've got to have the Lord's direction. Boy, when you get the Lord's direction, it sure is a blessing. Amen? I mean, when you know that you're following what God wants you to follow, it doesn't matter whether everybody else understands it or whether anybody else understands it. You just got to do what God wants you to do. Amen? You ever been in that place where God just directed you and said, I want you to go to this place, and I want you to do this thing, and I want you to show up at this time, and I want you to see this person. Hey, I'm telling you, when you get God's direction, I guarantee you, if He's working on you, He's working at the other end that He's sending you to also. Amen? I mean, here's this fella that's traveling out in the middle of the desert. And as I say, you know, probably with his entourage, and they're not seeing anybody else. There's nobody else around there. There's nobody else there to talk to as far as any other kind of nationality or probably any Christian or Jew or anything else. But thank God the Lord said, I got somebody, and I know how to get them to you. How is that? Well, they understood, and Philip did, that he needed spiritual direction. Notice that it says there in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. And he said, arise and go to the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. I want you to go to this place, and I'm going to show you where it's at. Amen? You'd say, well, there's no way that man in his chariot and Philip in his whatever he's doing, whatever, if he's walking or riding or whatever, how could they intersect? I'm telling you, God can give the direction. And that's the only way you're going to do it. God's got to give the direction. So, first of all, there's got to be the Lord's direction. Second of all, there's got to be the Lord's destination. I mean, look there in verse 27. It said, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopian, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. I mean, can you imagine that? That is the Lord working in this thing with a real destination in purpose. I mean, here's this guy. Now, imagine it. You know, somebody say, what are the chances that God would speak to a little old fella by the name of Philip and said, I want you to go down to the desert. I've got something for you to do there. And the man in the desert has got out his scrolls, if you will. He's got out his, what we would think of as the Bible. He's got his little paper. He's going through them. He's reading. And he's in Isaiah chapter number 53. He just happens to be reading. Can I tell you, that's the Lord working in the destination. He had him destined to be reading. He had him destined to be traveling. He had him destined to be in the south country. And he had his man, Philip, destined to go intersect with him. I'm telling you, it was God's destination. This wasn't a plan that Philip drew up. This wasn't a plan the Ethiopian drew up. It wasn't a plan of nobody, but a plan of God. Amen. God had this thing where they could intersect. God had this thing where they could come together, and God had a destination for the eunuch and for Philip. He said, I'm going to bring them together. Aren't you glad? Oh, as the old guy said, when God brings a plan together, amen, and God began to bring this plan together. So you see that this happens because it's of the Lord's direction, and it's also happening because it's the Lord's destination. And I want you to notice one other reason that this thing happened on this spiritual deputation is because of the preacher's devotion. I want you to notice what it says there in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, and so on and so forth. But look here in verse number 27. And he arose and went. Amen. I mean, it takes somebody devoted to God to get up and go do what the Lord says to do. Amen. I mean, that don't happen to just everybody, every time, everywhere. You've got to listen to the Lord, and then you've got to be devoted to Him to get up and go. Amen. I'm just telling you, sometimes God does some strange stuff to me and you. He's trying to get our attention, and when He does get our attention, He wants me and you to listen to Him. And you know what we have trouble with? We have trouble with listening, don't we? We have trouble with being obedient. We have trouble. When God says go, the best thing you can do is get up and go. When God says stop, the best thing you can do is stop. When God says back up, the best thing you can do is back up. Amen. Whatever God is telling you to do tonight, that's what you need to be listening for. I'm telling you, this fella found out about his spiritual deputation. Now, there wasn't no churches took him on. There wasn't no churches backing him. But can I tell you, he had the Spirit of God that was working and doing in his life. And that's what all of us need tonight. That's what every one of us in this room needs, is to be sure that we're on a spiritual deputation. I know you'll see a lot of folks out and about, and you know, we get calls here at the church and at home and whatever, all the time from folks on mission work. And, you know, if God's in it, man, God bless them. And I've seen folks take that missionary work and, you know, they say, well, we want to go to our destination, you know, by such and such a so many months or so many days or whatever it is that they got, and we just need churches to support. But you know what? I've seen some of them say, it don't matter if I've got all my support built up or if I don't. I'm going anyway because I know the Lord has called me and the Lord's going to make a way. Amen? And you know what? I believe that along with them. And I believe that's exactly what Philip is doing here. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't have it all figured out. But you know what he can say? Yes, Lord, here I am. He got up and he went. Amen? He got up and he went. So you see, the spiritual deputation. Second of all, I want you to see that this thing also involves not just spiritual deputation, but this thing also involves scriptural devotion. I mean, you are dedication, scriptural dedication. You got to be dedicated to the Word of God. You got to make your mind up that if you're going to do something for God, that it's going to be dependent upon this book. I mean, you got to be dedicated to this little book right here. You got to, oh, listen, I mean, you can go and learn the language, and you can go and take the trip, and you can build the money, and you can fly in the plane, and you can get to the destination. You can do all of that. But I want to tell you something. Hey, if you don't have any part of this Word of God working in your life, you are in trouble. Amen? You got to have some scriptural dedication. I want you to notice something about this fella, the Ethiopian eunuch. Everything that you hear from him, everything except for the very last thing, is a question. Do you see that? Look what it says. In verse number 30, it starts there. And Philip ran thither to him. God told him, said, there he is. Go join up. The Holy Spirit said, go join that chariot. And he ran to him. And he said, he looked at him and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And Philip said, look, do you understand what you're reading? I want you to notice this man. Notice this first of all. This man has questions to ask. Look what he says. How can excuse me, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I mean, this man says, I've got a question. How can I understand this unless somebody, some man, should guide me? Would you come up here, sir, and sit by me and help me understand this Bible? Do you know there are people today that have that same question in their heart and in their life? They say, preacher, I just don't understand. I don't get it. I can't figure it out. I want to tell you something. You'll never be able to figure it out. Amen? A carnal person will never figure out the Word of God. This fellow's sitting there, and he's doing a good thing. He's reading his Bible. But you know what? He's got questions. I want you to know there are people today that are reading their Bibles, and sometimes they've probably read them more than you have, and they quote them to you more than you can. I mean, they understand a lot of things, but they just don't know the real heart of the issue. This guy is rather privileged, okay? I mean, you would think, and it would be a true assumption, I think, for us to know this man was a man probably of wealth. He was not only a man of wealth, he was a man of position. And one reason we know that he's a man of such character is, you know, it tells us here that he's in authority over the treasury of the queen of an entire country. He's a guy over the, what, could y'all imagine? What do y'all think about the guy that runs the treasury department here in the United States? He probably makes a dollar or two, amen? He probably got more than me and you and all of us maybe put together. I'm just telling you, most of those folks in those kind of positions, they do rather well financially. And I'll tell you something, that's what lets us know this fellow's a little bit above maybe the rest of us. He's got a copy of the Bible, of Old Testament scriptures. The Bible says he's reading out of the book of Isaiah. In that day, everybody, they're not like we are today. You go to my house, me and Steve was talking before church. I've got 7 or 8 Bibles just hanging around on shelves at my house. I got all kinds. You probably got them there at your house too. You got Bible. They didn't have that in those days. The only way you had a copy of the scriptures was you had to have some money. So I'm just telling you, this guy was probably, you know, respected, renowned, and you know, in the money. I mean, he's a pretty important dude. And he's got this copy of the scriptures, and he's reading it, but he doesn't understand it. Now, I don't know this. I'm going to say it, but I don't know it for a fact. I bet Philip didn't have a copy of the scriptures, but can I tell you, he knew it down in here. He didn't need a physical printed copy. He had everything about it on the inside. The things that he had heard, the things that the Spirit of God had talked to him about, all of that was on the inside of him. But this fella was asking some questions. I want you to notice the questions that he asked. First of all, he says, how can I understand the Bible, if you will, except some man should guide me? Do you know, again, that's a true statement today. And look what he says. On further down in verse 34. And the eunuch answered. Now they've read a portion of scripture here in verses 32, 33. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee. He said, I got another question. Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? He said, I still got a question. I don't understand. I can't understand what I'm reading. And I don't know necessarily who he's talking to or who he's talking about. Can you help me with this? Don't you notice something else? When all of that is over, preachers, Philip has preached to him and talked to him about the scripture. And in verse number 36, and they went on their way, came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? I mean, all he's got is questions. What I'm telling you is we live in a world where people have questions. Aren't you glad, though, that there are people that do have the answers? Amen. I mean, the Bible says here, look, the questions were asked. But I want you to notice the quickening of the answers. I want you to notice the answer. They came, and I'm talking about quick as the word living. It was a living word that gave this man the answers. Do you notice what it says? The man asked the question. He said, who's he talking about? In verse number 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He said, I don't know what that means, and I don't know who he's talking about. Philip, can you help me? And notice what the Bible says. Then Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Woo, aren't you glad for that? Can I tell you, a lot of folks' questions can be answered with one thing, Jesus. You get the answer to your question, and it will wind up being Jesus. Who can help me in this mess that I'm in my life? Jesus. Who can help me take care of the problems that I'm facing? Jesus. Who can deliver me from the situation? Hey, can I tell you, his name again is Jesus. You need Jesus in your life, and he'll help you through problems. He'll help you with problems. And brother, he'll get you into some places you never thought you'd ever be before. Amen? When you trust in the Lord yourself. So there was the questions that were asked. But I'm glad there was the quickening that was giving us some answers. And not only that, I want you to notice, hey, there was the quenching of his acceptance. I mean, you notice what it says there? As they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Why can't I get in there and get baptized? And you know what Philip told him? You can. If you believe. Amen? Oh, let me tell you something. Hey, if water baptism is saving folks, this old preacher used to say that. He said, I'm going to go get my shotgun, my 12-gauge, and a wash tub, and somebody going to get saved. Amen? Huh? But, you know, it don't work like that. It is not who we can get up here and drown and dunk and push under in a pool of water. That doesn't save anybody. That does not wash sin. That's wrong. You'll hear a lot of these old kind of sad, even like country type talk. Oh, he didn't wash my sin. He didn't wash no sins away. Jesus did that with his eternal blood. He washed your sins away. Amen. Amen. Woo. Let me tell you. Did Stephen say that song? There's power in the blood. That's where the power is. Ain't no power in that water. Can I tell y'all? That comes from Walker County. Amen. Somebody say, yeah, hallelujah right there. I mean, that ain't going to clean nobody. It might make you dirtier than you was when you got in there. I don't know. But let me just tell you something. When it's the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible said that his red blood will wash your black sins away and you'll be whiter than the driven snow. Amen? And I still believe that. Oh, this old boy had some questions. I mean, can I tell you? Man, y'all remember that old Radio Shack commercial? You've got questions. We've got answers. Can I tell you? The Lord's got the answers for all of your questions. He's got exactly what you and I need. So, this fella is looking for some answers. And there's a living word that is there before him that begins to give him the answers to every question that he ever had. Amen? All right, look at one last thing with me, if you will. You see that he has, preacher has that direction on his life to go out and to preach, and the deputation that he's on. And then you see that there is some problems here with the man trying to understand the Scriptures, and he needed some scriptural dedication. But don't you know, last of all, you see that he makes a saving declaration. He makes a declaration that says, hey, he's asked the question, what do I got to do, in other words, about being saved? What does it take? Will it be all right if I get in that water over there? Can I do that? But notice what Philip said in verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And here comes the only time in this entire story where this man makes a statement rather than ask a question. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? Hey, he's gone from questions. His questions have settled down. His questions have been answered. His questions have been received and given the proper treatment. Hey, the questions are over, and you know what it is now? Are you ready to believe in Jesus? Do you believe everything that he... Now, don't you know, this fella is seeking something. This fella is looking. I mean, he's searching. There's something in his heart. Do you see what he's been doing? Do you understand what's been going on? This man has been at Jerusalem, okay? Now realize this. This man's been at Jerusalem, and it tells us in the text that he's going home, right? He's going back home from having been in Jerusalem. And it says there in verse 27, when Philip gets up and goes, it says, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, listen, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. You see what his intention was? His intention was, I'm going to Jerusalem, and while I'm there, I'm going to worship. But do you know what? When he left, there was something eating at his soul. There was something that was digging down on, and he said, there's got to be more to it than what's going on in my life. There's got to be. And he had questions. He had questions. But aren't you glad the Lord's got the answers? As I said, isn't it amazing? Here's this well-known, this fella of fame and probably somewhat fortune and a position and a title and all that. Here he is. And here's a little old preacher that nobody knows nothing about, but God knows him. The Holy Ghost knows him. And he runs him out there in the desert and said, I want you to go talk to him. Amen? And when he gets there, that Philip challenges him with the Word of God. And this man, after he hears the answers for his questions, he makes a saving declaration. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, there in verse 36. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. He said, here, there's water here. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, what would keep me from being baptized? Now, he knew that, and probably in the discussion that Philip had with him, some discussion of baptism was mentioned in some way. Philip might have told him, you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, with fire. I mean, I don't know what he's told. But he sees some water, and he said, what's going to hinder me from being baptized? And Philip looked at him and said, not one thing if you believe. If you believe what I've been preaching to you, if you believe what I've been telling you, if you believe this story about this suffering shepherd for his faith, if you believe that, then you can be baptized. Amen? Aren't you glad for his response, though? And it says, and he said, he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Boy, what an answer. I hope that's your answer tonight when somebody asks you for the hope that you've got in coming to church and serving in the church and doing whatever you do. Hey, it's not because, well, it's a good thing to do, or the other folks are doing it, or my mom and daddy take me. No, the answer is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. That's the right answer right there, folks. Amen. And I'm telling you, this fellow made that as a saving declaration. He declared it. First of all, I want you to know what he declared. He declared, first of all, his belief. He said, I believe. Amen. I believe. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Boy, that's pretty good. I mean, you know, this guy had been churched up, I guess you'd say. He'd been up at Jerusalem. He'd been up at the big temple. He'd been there for celebration. He'd been there for sacrifice. He'd been there for all. But it wasn't doing him any good. But can I tell you, when Philip come by and preached Jesus to him, it changed his life. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe? I mean, man, you and I've got to have our faith in Christ. You got to have your faith in Christ, not in church membership, not in what the preacher said, not in what the Baptist believes, not in this and that and the other. You got to believe that Jesus is the living Son of God. Amen? You remember when Jesus is talking to his disciples and they're talking about, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Who do men say I am? And they said, well, some say you're a reincarnation of John the Baptist and one of the prophets and blah, 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 this and that and the other. And then he looked at them and he said, but I'm going to ask you, who do you say that I am? And old Peter had to speak up first, didn't he? He said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed it unto thee. He said, and upon this rock, what rock was that? Oh, that Peter was going to be the first pope of the church? No, that's not the rock, y'all. That's not what Jesus is saying upon this rock. What is that? That Jesus is the Son of God. That's the rock that the church is built and established upon. Not on anything else. And boy, can I tell you, that's the way that it ought to be with me and you. We got to have our faith. We got to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. So you see, this man's declaration includes his belief. And then second of all, this man, you see that he makes this declaration by his baptism. Now, I'm telling you again, that water wasn't going to save him. But you know what it did? It told everybody else around there with him. His little entourage found out that he meant business with God. He got in that water, whatever, if it was a little pond or an oasis of water. I don't know what it was out there in the middle. Somehow they run across some water. I mean, God made sure there's some water there. And when they got there to that water, he said, what's going to keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, not a thing if you believe. He said, oh, I believe. I believe Jesus. He said, then let's get in the water. And you know what? He got him in there. He looked up and he said, Brother Eunuch. I don't know what his name was. Brother Eunuch. He said, I'm baptizing you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Whoa! Put him in, pulled him up, and said, wow, hallelujah. You're baptized. Amen. Welcome to the first church of the desert. We're the only members of it out here. He said, and I'm leaving. He took off and he was gone. Spirit of God pulled him out. You know what the eunuch said? Well, he said, I don't be by here church by myself alone. I'm going to go back to Ethiopia. So he took off his way. Philip went his way. And they never saw each other again. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Hey, I know they're Baptists. Why do I know? Because, buddy, sometimes you can baptize them and you'll never see them again. Amen. Say amen right there. Listen, here you see his declaration. He declares it by saying, I believe. He declares it by his baptism. But don't you notice this? In the end of it, there's a declaration made about his blessedness. Look what it says. It says here that he commanded the chariot to stand still. Verse 38. And they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But look, when they were come up, out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. But look, and he went on his way rejoicing. Amen? I mean, it wasn't a religious experience. It wasn't just a church joining. It wasn't just, oh, well, I'm going to try to impress somebody. No, sir. He went home rejoicing that the Lord had saved him, and he knew who he was now. Amen? There was some blessedness that came into the very depths of his life. He went on his way rejoicing. He didn't have to hang around with the preacher. He didn't have to rub elbows with Philip. He didn't have to run around and Philip say, "Hey, here's one that I got saved." And there wasn't none of that. He went on his way and he rejoiced because of what the Lord had done for him. Amen? Is that why we're rejoicing today? Because of what the Lord's done? Oh, listen, I've seen people and, man, they'd turn it on when it was time to turn it on. They'd get up and, you know, hoop and holler and carry on when it was time to do that. And then if certain people wasn't there or certain situations didn't present themselves, then they just sat there. But they said, "Well, I'm waiting until so-and-so gets here. I'm really going to impress them. I want to wait till, you know, Uncle Bob, Aunt Sue's here, and I'm going to shout, and they're going to say, 'What a spiritual person he is.'" That's a bunch of hogwash. Amen? You just need to rejoice and thank God and live in His blessings every day of your life. Amen? It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing and what everybody else thinks about it. Just get up and say, "Hey, He saved me. I bless His holy name. And I'm thankful that I'm a child of the King." Amen? I don't know where you are tonight. Brother Ronnie, come on. We're going to get ready to sing a verse of a song. I don't know where you are.